This is the very last Naked Scientist show of 2009, so we thought we'd look back on a few of our favourite bits. It's been a great year, we've had some really interesting guests, been to some incredible places and done some fantastic experiments. But first, Helen, what's been some of your favourite bits?
Oh, well, there's so much to choose from. But I think something that stood out for me was when we had Dr. David Aldridge in the studio from Cambridge University. And he brought with him some creatures found in fresh waters around the world that really shouldn't be where we find them. So this was all about the science of invasive species. And he brought some critters for us to look at.
And we can have a listen to that now.
I've got a little menagerie of goodies here. I've got some zebra mussels. I've got a signal crayfish from North America, and I've got a Chinese mitten crab. They're beautiful, but unlike our native freshwater mussels, which just sit in the bottom of rivers with their foot digging into the mud, zebra mussels have a beard, a byssus thread, which is like the marine mussels that you eat. So zebra mussels are able to sit on solid surfaces, and they can attach to each other and sit in dense layers. So they can foul pipelines, drinking water supplies, cooling systems to power plants, irrigation systems, but also they sit on our native wildlife. And one of the things they really threaten, such as this specimen I've got in front of me, are our native mussels, which provide a really good substrate, and they choke them and cause them to die.
Yes, because that's a huge mussel you've got there, and I can hardly see it. It's kind of covered in smaller zebra mussels. That's incredible. And the crayfish you've got there, that looks quite tasty. Can we eat those?
We can, and that's the reason they were brought over here. The American signal crayfish was brought over in the 1970s as a commercial aquaculture food. The problem with these crayfish is that they can walk over land, so they escaped out of these little ponds they were put in, and they can move into the wider environment. So they are very good at sort of changing the ecosystem through feeding on the bottom-rooting plants, the macrophytes, and they dig burrows, which can cause sort of destabilisation of the banks. But perhaps of greatest sort of immediate concern is that they carry a fungus, something called crayfish plague, which kills our native crayfish species, but these are pretty resistant. The American ones are pretty resistant too. So we've had, for instance, in the Cam in 2000, there was an outbreak of plague which wiped out native crayfish from about 20 kilometres of river.
That was Dr. David Aldridge telling us about some of the creatures that get into freshwater bodies and cause trouble where they shouldn't be. And we had a look at some of them in the studio, and that was quite fun. That was great.
It's very nice to have our own invasion of invasive species. It's not often people bring things into the studio.
I think we should do that more often. That's what we should do in 2010, is bring creatures into the radio studio. Is that all right with everyone else?
Well, we do have a cooked chicken with us today, but I think that's a slightly different way of thinking about things. Now, speaking of species that we don't want around, there was also a lovely news story from earlier in the year about the love song of the mosquito. Now, if you listen very carefully to this, you can almost hear Dr. Cat just squirming in her seat.
Now have a listen to this. That is a male mosquito buzzing its wings at something like 600 hertz, 600 times a second. Have a listen to the female mosquito, and these are Aedes aegypti mosquitoes. Here we go. Now, I won't subject you to too much more because Dr. Cat has got her fingers in her ears. But that's at about 400 hertz. But if you do what two researchers at Cornell did, that's Lauren Cater and Ben Arthur, they put one of those mosquitoes tethered to a pin with a piece of superglue so they could keep it in one place, and they bring in a mosquito of the opposite sex and they record what happens to the wings of the two. Have a listen to this. Now, what's actually happening is that the two mosquitoes are adapting the beating frequency of their wings so that they harmonise.
Isn't that lovely? Mosquitoes singing in harmony. And I've never seen such a visceral reaction as Kat squirming in her seat with that. Fair enough, it's a horrible sound, the sound of mosquitoes. But thinking of something a bit more pleasant, we've had loads of great experiments in kitchen science. I remember at the start of the year we made some jelly to show how fruit enzymes can cut up proteins and stop the jelly from setting, although I think it may have just been an excuse to make lots and lots of jelly. But Dave, what else have you been enjoying this year?
All sorts of things this year, ranging from videoing popcorn popping, watching the way it's absolutely beautiful, the way it kind of unravels as it's a really strong pressure vessel. You get it really hot, the water inside boils, the pressure builds up and it breaks and it opens itself up almost all the way. And you get this really pops out the place. I got a few minor oil burns from that one, so probably not something you really ought to try at home. And there have been all sorts of lovely things which I keep bringing out at dinner parties as well. There was one which I found from a guy I met at the British Interactive Group. And you just have a nut on one end of a piece of string and a mug on the other end of a piece of string, hold it over a pencil, and just let go of the nut. And despite what you'd expect, every time, as long as you don't mess up too badly, the nut wraps itself around the pencil and it doesn't hit the ground. And I also had one which I actually got a proposal of marriage from my housemate, which my girlfriend wasn't entirely impressed with, which was getting a orange peel, especially a good juicy orange peel, nice big thick orange peel, and squidging it next to a candle. And you get these huge sort of fireballs, maybe 5 or 6 inches across, and it's absolutely beautiful, especially in slow motion as well.
That's very cool. I like that one too, actually. But another one that sticks in my mind especially was when you soaked me in the studio. I thought that was rather mean, but it was great fun, and I think we've got a clip from that one coming up.
So if you spin that nice
and
quickly.
Do I let go of it, or do I
hold
on to it?
Keep holding it and spin it nice and quickly.
In one direction?
In one direction.
Oh! Oh, I see. I see. I'm
That's
covered in
Dave
water.
That's why Dave got you to hold it. Yeah.
That's the last time I offer to have a kitchen site. So what happened is the water flew out of the openings of the straw. I'd have another go, but I think I might get the microphone wet.
Yeah, we should be a bit careful.
That was really good.
It was like a rather beautiful fountain for a moment there.
Well, clearly that tickled Dr. Chris. Dave, did you know that was going to happen?
I'm afraid that fairly simple physics made it pretty inevitable that was going to happen, Helen.
Ooh, I'm shaking my fist. Oh, well, anything in the name of the naked scientist, that's fine.
Of course. And we didn't get any microphones wet, not at all. We never do anything that could in any way harm any of the equipment in this studio. Wouldn't dream of it. Now, I've really enjoyed meeting some of the people I've interviewed this year. I spoke to the Science Minister, Lord Drayson, about why science is so important. But a bit more fun was talking to comedian Robin Ince about how science and comedy are very closely linked.
Well, in fact, there is a huge and accidental rational movement, basically. And I think after we put together the show Nine Lessons and Carols for Godless People, where we, on the science side, you had Simon Singh and Ben Goldacre and Richard Dawkins, their various musicians, people like Jarvis Cocker and Darren Heyman, and then comedians, and all of them were doing something on the rational world. And you have people like Dara O'Brien, Chris Addison, Stuart Lee and Josie Long, and all of them are approaching things from a rational perspective, and especially Dara, who has a physics background, he's very excited about talking about science. And I think there is, perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps because TV isn't really pandering very much to intellectual programming. So I think there has been an accidental rational stroke scientific movement start in comedy.
And we've also been to some amazing places this year. Laura Soul climbed to Everest Base Camp and reported back on how her body reacted to the low levels of oxygen. It clearly wore her out somewhat.
It's good to sit down. I have a massive headache, and so do most people. I felt a bit sick on the way up, but I'm OK now. Some people feel very sick. The view from here is absolutely amazing. You can see the Khumbu Icefall, which is really beautiful with these huge big jagged peaks of ice. It's been very hard work to get up here, but I'd say that it was definitely worth the climb.
I think you can just about feel, can't you, just how exhausted she is. It's amazing. Well, I was rather, well, I was a little bit envious, I have to say, of Mira's trip to South Africa this year, and when she got to meet some cheetahs. How lovely.
Okay, somewhere very nearby here is a cheetah on a curricule. There we go. See, over the side. It's actually feeding.
Oh my god, yeah. Uh-oh, it spotted us. Does that matter?
Oh, no. They're very relaxed. It's feeding, so it's got other things on its mind. And cheetah aren't animals that are dangerous or anything to humans.
So we've pulled up alongside this tree, and I can see the cheetah's body and its head, and its tail's wagging now. And it is just quite literally having a feast down there, munching away.
You can hear how excited she is by that little gasp of breath. I was really excited to hear that. It's also quite nice to know that cheetahs are quite a bit like my cats at home, in that once you give them some food, they don't care about anything else whatsoever.
Distilling the best science. The Naked Scientists. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Helen Scales, Dave Ansell and Ben Valsler. And if you'd like to contact us through Twitter, it's at Naked Scientists, or you can always send us an email to chris@thenakedscientist.com.
Thank you, Helen.